Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today it's Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. And it comes in the midst of a talk by Jesus, I suppose, where Jesus is telling those assembled, those closest to him and others who are listening in, that we shouldn't confuse our spiritual lives and our earthly lives. We had the parable of the fellow who built the bigger barns and sat back and, well, now my soul is satisfied. It's not like that. We should be focusing on our relation with God, not taking it for granted. Instead of focusing on earthly rewards like bigger barns. So it's in that, it's in the midst of that kind of talk that Jesus continues with these words. So here it is. It is Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Jesus said, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." So there you go. I kept it short because there's, well, a couple of interesting similes. Maybe parables. So the instruction is to be ready, right? Dress for action, have your lamps lit. Got it. Don't be lying in bed sleeping. And as we're talking about the kingdom of God and our relationship with God, I assume by that, at least when I hear it, Jesus is reminding me to be alert, to be aware. I don't know that it means that I have to be ready to dash out the door at any moment to help somebody across the street or to see. Like, you know, I don't know that I have to do that, but I need to be alert and aware, looking for God in the world. There is a feeling to this, kind of like, if you don't serve God well, then God will be displeased with you. But if you do serve God well, God's going to be thrilled. So we can turn that and make that into, so you're not serving God well. You are the one who serves in the house, who likes to sleep all night and all day, instead of getting up and doing the work that you're supposed to be doing. The problem with that is it becomes well, it becomes works righteousness, to use a phrase that probably is meaningless to a bunch of you. It's what Paul's concerned about. It's that by our deeds we are set right with God, works righteousness. When in fact, it is not our deeds that set us right with God. If you do 100 good things and I do 20 good things, that doesn't necessarily make you better in God's eyes than me, right? It's not about that. God's grace embraces all of us because that's how God is and that's how it works. It's not a competition. We're trying to get away from the righteousness of following all the rules in the law of Moses, right? In the Hebrew scriptures, that idea of 613 mitzvahs, and I've mentioned this before, is a recipe for failure because you're never going to get them all. So it's, the question is, how far below 613 are you? So you're always in a deficit. Well, if we do the same thing with deeds, I mean, as good as I've been, oh, God, Roger's been even better than I have. And Martha, oh, I don't even compare. I'm terrible. And the church might go, well, that's good. That'll make Norm work harder for us. And now I've confused the church with my relationship with God. I might as well be building a bigger barn. For me, this is about awareness. So dress for action, having my lamps lit. I'm looking, I'm aware. I'm looking to see God in the world. So that I can be part of that, absolutely, but not so that I can serve and gain points. That, to me, is the whole problem with this image of slaves and the master. I mean, we already have an issue with that. Every time you hear slaves, it just sets off all sorts of things. But it's a fair translation of the word, and given the context, these are the people who work in the household, and everybody works for somebody. Right? So, you know, blessed are the workers who find their boss, you know, who the boss finds alert when he comes. You know, so, you know, and that makes absolute sense. You know, so on one hand, we're looking to see God at work in the world, but God also looks to see what we're doing, not so that we can be judged by it, but so that God can be part of it. I mean, if you listen to that, blessed are the slaves, blessed are the workers when the boss finds alert when he comes. Because truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. So for me, when I hear in that, when God sees us out there and we are passionate and we are committed and we are working, God sees us and God comes and helps us. Didn't say pat them on the head and say, well done. Said, no, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down. He begins to serve them. Which sounds like a reward in heaven, but I don't believe in works righteousness. Therefore, I mean, I hate to criticize Jesus, but it's an awkward parable in so many ways. But when I really wonder and think about it, I can understand that what I hear of this is that, yeah, I need to be alert and aware of God moving in the world and know that God is aware of how I move in the world, and God wants to be part of that too. So when God sees me trying to do the impossible, so I might be working to relieve the suffering of somebody close to me, right? Somebody who has been through something very hard. I'm not going to pull up a real example for fear that I might say something I shouldn't. But you know, I'm trying to help somebody who is grieving deeply. I know I can't fix it. I can't bring their loved one back. I can't make sure. I can't say everything's okay. You're fine. I know I can't do that. And in fact, my impulse is to distance myself from them because I can't fix them. But when I dare to go and sit with them and grieve with them and let them cry and let them talk and let them rant and let them get angry, and I just stay present through all of that, as hard as that might be for me, I can be assured that God is there with me doing it too, because God has seen what I am doing and God has come to help me. God will give me the strength and the patience. And I really do believe that. So it's, I'm meant to be looking for God in the world and knowing that God is also looking for me. And as much as I want to be involved in what God's doing in the world, God also wants to be involved in what I am doing in the world. Right? I mean, if I'm committing petty crimes, no. But if I am doing those things, that are inspired by my faith and my relationship with God, that yes, God will be present for those. And I should be aware at the strangest times and the strangest places. Right? I'm very aware on a Sunday morning in church, absolutely. And I am very aware when I go to visit this group of people. They're good people. They do really good work, and I go there to help do good work with them. But I can also be aware when I go to meet that person who has nothing to do with the faith, who is angry and just has no time for the world, and I still wander into that moment. That's when I should be looking to see God at work. That's when I wouldn't expect it to happen. The middle of the night. I don't expect the boss to arrive in the middle of the night, or first thing in the morning. No. That's not a time, right? But in fact, I should be looking for God in those unexpected places and in those unexpected times. Absolutely, in the expected times, true, but also in the unexpected times. That's what I get from that. And then comes this other one. That's quite challenging. Excuse me. But know this, Jesus says, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So the Son of Man is a thief breaking into my house? Before, he was the boss coming back. I was working in his house, and now he came back and was really glad to see that I'm at work, and I recognize that he was coming at an odd hour, and so I'm involved, and so like I got that. But now suddenly I hear that it is my house and that the Son of Man is going to break into it. And if I know he's coming, I'm not going to let him break into it. So part of that, I take that the way I was taking the earlier piece, which is to say, look for the opportunities where you wouldn't normally think to find the opportunities, right? Don't just focus on the scheduled moments. I mean, yes, absolutely. As church feeds you, go to church. Absolutely. If it's at Sunday morning at 10:30, show up on time. Absolutely. In fact, show up early and chat with some people. Stay later, have coffee. You know, all that stuff. Absolutely that. Nothing wrong with it, but also look for the unscheduled times. But this idea, that I might actually be trying to keep Jesus out. Well, I wonder, are there times and places in my life when I would rather keep God distant? This is not a God time, you know. I don't know what activity I'm involved in. It's not a God time. but I suppose that there are times in my life that I don't think of them being God times, and maybe I don't want them to be. So maybe it's that moment that I am lying for what I tell myself are very good reasons. Little white lies. I'm misleading somebody because, you know, just easier. I know the right thing, and I'm just going to get them there. Right? And the long route is to get them to understand what I'm talking about, get their consent, and have them come along. The short route is to gaslight them a little bit, manipulate them, get them to the right place, because I know the right place. So maybe there are times when I don't want God there, because I am, well, not so much me. I mean, I am a little bit, my wife is much more so, dealing with a relative with dementia. And she is very, very patient at finding those moments and those times when there is clarity that she can help him understand and make decisions. Whether he remembers the decision the next day or not, he's made the decision. And there's a part of me that says, why don't we just tell him he said yes? He's not going to remember. And even as I say something like that, I realize that's a moment I'm inviting God out. God, just I've got this covered, okay? I have figured it out. My wife, on the other hand, is going, no, that's not what we're going to do. So I serve a church. I serve a congregation that was originally built. The congregation came together by three congregations amalgamating back at the beginning of the century. That sounds like a long time ago. Back in 2000. Three congregations amalgamated. It was originally planned to be five. And as I understand it, this is my interpretation of it, but as I understand it, two that chose not to, one of them chose not to for very obvious reasons, and I get it. Another one that chose not to, the reason they chose not to is that they had been misled by the people who saw the value of this amalgamation. Rather than telling them the truth and inviting them to be full participants, they were manipulated. That's how they felt. And when they got to the point where they realized, wait a minute, this is not what we thought we were talking about. No, we don't have anything to do with it. And they pulled out. That congregation continues to exist. Do they thrive? I don't know. That's a really hard thing to look at. I don't know. I don't want to judge what another congregation does. We do what we do. They do what they do. They have some real challenges that we don't have. But I'm not judging success one way or the other. What I am looking at, though, is that they missed out on an opportunity because they had been lied to. That's how they saw it. And I have some sympathy for them. Knowing some of what happened, I do think that they were manipulated. So I think that there were some well-meaning folk who decided that they knew better than God, and so we didn't need God to be part of this. We'll do it ourselves. So I think there are times that maybe we do lock our house and say, no, we don't want you in here, God. But that actually won't stop God. God will show up. And God will break into your plans. And you might be surprised what happens. In fact, you'll probably wish, not because you'll suffer for it, but because you see the value in it, you'll probably wish that you had gone with God from the beginning and not tried to shut God out. You sort of follow what I'm saying? Yeah, I recognize there are times in my life when I will do things, and I don't need God in there. It's okay. I've got this figured out, God. I know the answer. And so I'll just do the thing. And no, I don't have to explain to the people. I don't have time for all of that. You know, I'm busy. I am God. Don't know. And so I will more than persuade, I might coerce a result. And time again, I find those things fall apart. And then what comes afterwards is actually often better than what I would have done anyway. And I reckon, oh, you know what? I should have gone with God from the very beginning. That's sort of what I get from this. And also just that edge to it too. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour, like a thief. Acknowledge that, yeah, sometimes, I mean, I say that I want God involved in everything, but the truth is, not always. But God is going to be. So that can either be a major disruption to my plans and to my life, or it can be a welcome moment because my front door is open and I'm waiting for it. But you need to think about it a little bit to figure out when are your doors closed? And I may spend a little time today thinking about my closed doors. Anyway, I think I'm just going to leave that with you now to see what you think of it, to see where it takes you. So let me offer a prayer, and we'll get on with this day. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for words and parables that are challenging and invite us to reflect and to wonder. God, as we wonder, may we hear your voice. and may we follow it. Hearing your voice, God, may we grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that is enough for me today, but I wish you a fantastic day. Please have a great day. Please come back tomorrow and know that you are blessed. And when I say that you're blessed, what I mean is that God sees you and knows you. God does see what you're doing, and God does come to you and is with you. But even more than that, God is involved in what you do, and God's love moves through you into the world in amazing ways. You share God's love. Whether you know it or not, you are. You make a difference. So thank you for being you. God bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow.